Okay, let's see. All right, thank you, everybody. We are back in session. This is the Wednesday, February 1st continuation of the 2 p.m. City Council meeting. If the clerk would please call the next item.
Item 104, place a measure on the May 16, 2017 ballot to amend city charter provisions to protect auditors' independence.
Very good. Now, before we invite the auditor and her team up, I'd like to just set out what I think is the process this afternoon. I'd like to get some head nods on this. First of all, I'd like to bring to your attention that there are three documents that we have. We have Exhibit A, which is the consensus replacement amendment that takes into account all of the council amendments that were put forward during last week's prior discussion. We also have a second page that includes two proposed auditor amendments that I will ask to be included in a moment. We also have an extensive matrix that lays out all of the competing amendments as well as those that were already included. It basically lays out all the amendments that have been proposed up to this point. And I'll be using that as the basis of discussion for the amendments itself. So first, I'd like to move the substitution consensus amendment, Exhibit A. Could I get a second?
Second.
There was a change in it that I had asked. I didn't put it forward as a formal motion. So it's right on the front page, the salary. We had that discussion last week about including effective January 1st, 2019. The salary of the auditor shall be the same as the city commissioner.
So, Commissioner, may I make a suggestion? If we place the substitute, the consensus substitute on the table, and it's now been moved and seconded, then as we go through the auditor's matrix...
Sorry.
I think we understand you will flag that,
yes.
And we'll have the discussion with the auditor.
Thank you.
Yes, and I will make a special effort to remember that as well. The auditor has further requested that I move and seek a second on two other proposed amendments that you have before you.
I'll second them.
Thank you, auditor's proposed amendment number two and auditor's proposed amendment number three. At this point, I will remind people that there is no public testimony today. We already had the public testimony at the last meeting, so the record is closed. We heard public testimony as well as received written testimony on this item. So this is a continuation of the resolution process to move the auditor's proposal to the May ballot.
A question?
Yes, sir.
I'm curious why Exhibit A is labeled a consensus replacement. There have been no vote on amendments yet, and my amendment's not part of the consensus replacement. So how is this a consensus if my amendment isn't part of it?
So I believe...
How does it earn the title consensus when there's been
right.
no votes?
Understanding is that these are
the
issues
doors?
Where there was agreement between the city council and the auditor on these. There's no conflict between the council and the auditor.
So this, Mayor, is a substitute, and it is our intention then to propose amendments to it. And
correct.
That would include Commissioner Saltzman's amendment
correct.
And Commissioner Fritz's amendment, and the auditor has proposed two amendments. Exclusive of those amendments, this now incorporates the changes that the council has not, that is not in controversy with the
That
council.
Is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
So with that, I will invite the auditor and her team up, and what I would propose is we go through the amendments as listed on the matrix. Some of these amendments are already included in the consensus document. And at the end of the discussion on each of the proposed amendments, we'll vote on the amendments, then we'll take a final vote on the resolution as amended. Does that work for everybody?
Yes, except I do believe we need to add Commissioner Saltzman's amendment because it's not in the current
We will have that opportunity because it is in the matrix as one of the proposed amendments that we will have a vote on today. So we will have that opportunity. But it was not agreed to by the auditor,
correct.
And therefore it is not in this substitute consensus amendment.
Okay.
Does that work for everybody? Good.
Just track the name consensus. That probably works. Make it work.
Very good. Okay, so first off, the first item was mayor number one. These have already been included. I'm withdrawing mayor number one.
Which is about collective bargaining.
Correct.
Because people may not have this.
Sorry, thank you. Fish number one is up next. Commissioner Fish.
Madam Auditor, it's my understanding that this is in the substitute that you have presented before us, correct?
Correct.
So I withdraw my amendment.
Commissioner Fish withdraws fish number one. Next up is fish number two on behalf of the auditor.
And I will defer to Commissioner Fritz on this.
Thank you. There was a discussion last week about whether this makes it more clear that the salary of the auditor shall be the same that it is right now. I'm afraid that by saying it should be in 2019, it implies that the salary of the auditor could be anything up until that point, either lower or higher than the salary of a commissioner. So I would just like to say the salary shall be the same as the city commissioner.
So the commissioner has moved the inclusion of a date specific. Is there a second?
Second for discussion purposes.
Second for discussion purposes. Why don't we go ahead and have the discussion?
I'd ask to turn to the auditor. Madam Auditor, I understand the issue that Commissioner Fritz has raised, and I guess her point is if we strike the language effective January 1, 2019, the status quo reverts, which is that your salary would remain the same as a city commissioner. What do you believe is the advantage of making this effective in a future year?
I strictly was trying to make it clear that even though the language without the date is what the status quo is, that this was just, it's my understanding that this is the way you would do something in a charter to label the effective date that something would start officially as a charter provision.
My read, and I'm just giving you my sense, is that if the charter says the salary of the auditor shall be the same as a city commissioner, and if the this exchange, this discussion creates a legislative history that you are and will continue to have the same salary, I believe my only concern is the effective date might give someone a belief that it wasn't currently the law.
Right. It is not in charter currently. I think it says currently that you set my salary. And so it just happens that in practice it is set the same as yours. And so this just, as charter language, gives it a start date that it would have the force of charter behind it. It does not have the force of charter behind it today.
Why wouldn't we want that to start right away?
I think this is just an expression to the public that this is not about the auditor sitting in the office today, and that it is intended to be for the auditor who has the next term.
So can I turn to council for a second? Because I think you see where we're going on this, council. And the intent of the council and the auditor is to clarify, is to make clear that the auditor's salary shall be the same as a commissioner. Does the effective date language add or detract from that?
So it gets at two different things. The language where it says that the salary shall be fixed the same as a city commissioner puts into the charter the practice that is currently followed, that the auditor's salary is set and is currently the same as a city commissioner. The clause at the beginning, if it were to be included, effective January 1st, 2019, gets at a different concern, which is, as the auditor expressed, the charter change would not go into effect until the term of the next auditor election cycle. So it would not go into effect. So it avoids a potential question that could arise of, is this changing the salary of the auditor during the term, the current term of the elected official? The answer is that that's only a problem from an ethics standpoint if the auditor was participating in the election, changing her salary during her term. That's not really a problem that's presented because this is being sent out to the voters for approval, and therefore that ethical question is potentially one of academic interest, but not is not a legal problem. So it's not necessary, but if it's the auditor's preference that that be the case, then that would be something to include.
Mayor, I'm agnostic on this. Do you have a view one way or another? I think we've had legal advice that says it doesn't add or detract.
Yeah, the legal advice we're getting is it doesn't matter, but the reality is we're not setting the auditor's salary here. What we're doing is we're referring it to the voters for them to be able to decide. And the question will be asked repeatedly over the course of the discussion leading up to the vote, is this something the auditor is doing that potentially rises to self-dealing? And having been in a similar situation previous, I understand why the auditor would want this included.
Well, on that basis, then I would move my amendment.
Is there a second? There's a motion and a second. Is there any further council discussion on this issue, Madam Auditor?
No, I just want to clarify that the date will be in there in your motion. Okay.
Please call the roll on the amendment.
Fritz.
No, I think we were doing the charter. It's just the constitution for the next 100 years, and so having an effective date in there seems to be unnecessarily complicating it. No.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment is included. The next is Fish number 3 on behalf of the League of Women Voters. Just to clarify, 2506A. The administrative authority, it's my understanding this is already included in the substitute amendment. 2506G is not. Commissioner Fish?
Yes, I withdraw my the 2-506G.
2506G is withdrawn.
Without a substitute?
I'm not offering it, no.
So the... I thought I got a memo from the League of Women Voters saying that this, that they, I don't understand what's happened here.
The auditor has accepted the first part of, let's turn to the auditor. What now is in the substitute?
In the consensus draft is 2-506A, and we have, at the request of the League of Women Voters, remove the word policies and practices, so that's the rule making provision. The league also wanted 2-506G, and I thought that that was redundant to Commissioner Fish's amendment number 1, which has a public comment and notice provision, and so I was objecting to the need to form a committee to go over rules, because I think that the public comment piece will get at that.
And so to be clear, when this was brought to my attention, I thought the most compelling part of the suggestion was clarifying reasonable public notice and opportunity to comment and public participation, and that's been agreed to in the substitute.
Right, I thought that was a great suggestion by the league.
And so that has been agreed to, and absent an agreement with the auditor, I've just decided to withdraw the amendment, the other portion.
Saltzman number 1, Dan. I mean, Commissioner, sorry.
Oh, this is the...
Yeah,
this is my one amendment. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
As I said last week, this is, you know, I have no issue with the ombudsman. I think the ombudsman does great work. My opposition really is a size of government thing. I don't believe we should be locking into the charter, which is our constitution, as Commissioner Fritz just said, a position and the office that goes with it. I feel that should be a discretionary. It should not be locked into our charter, because I just believe few positions are mentioned in our charter, and I don't believe the ombudsman rises to the level of being locked into the charter. I have no qualm whatsoever with the work of the ombudsman and the good work in this case that she is currently doing, but past ombudsman as well. It's just a size of government issue for me. So I would urge adoption.
I move the amendment, Mayor.
Is there a second?
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Further discussion? Carla, can you please call the roll?
Prince.
I do appreciate the work that has been done to amend the Ombudsman's section. I agree with Commissioner Saltzman that it's not necessary. We did hear a lot of testimony, however, that the public wants to have it there, and we did amend, the auditor has agreed to an amendment that says specifically that the ombudsman may investigate within the Office of Auditor, since we heard the concern from the community that the ombudsman might not be able to investigate in independent police review. So with that change, I think it's good for now, and hopefully we'll be having a full charter commission in a few years that can take another look at it. Aye. Am I aye?
Just a minute. She is knowing.
I'm knowing, yes.
She is knowing, correct.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Fish.
Commissioner Saltzman, I appreciate you bringing this issue forward, and we've had a chance to have a good discussion with the public, and I'm not persuaded that it should be taken from proposal before us, but I appreciate your position and the conversation we've had. No.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
No.
Wheeler?
No. The amendment fails. Fritz, number one. This is on the qualifications. Commissioner Fritz?
And this was an either-or mess, so I withdraw this particular one and instead move 1B.
Fritz has withdrawn item number one.
1A.
I'm sorry, 1.
And I'm, and I'm actually amending 1B after discussions with the auditor. She's very concerned about not limiting when the assessments have to happen. And so I'd like to withdraw the last line. These assessments shall occur in the third year of an auditor's term. But the rest of the section would remain, and it says that the auditor shall periodically conduct, but not less than every 4 years, organizational efficiency and compliance assessments, the results of which shall be made public. And then I believe the auditor, we have in there also the auditor may contract with outside service providers to conduct the assessments.
So I will second Commissioner Fritz's Amendment 1B. I'm now just a little confused. The auditor's proposed amendment here as well. Can you and the auditor explain to us if we now have a consensus amendment or if there are two amendments?
I believe we do have a consensus amendment, which would be my alternative.
Right, the right-hand column rather than the left.
Then I second the auditor's alternative, which has been approved by Commissioner Fritz.
And just a question, Madam Auditor. The last sentence that says may contract with outside service providers, would they not always be outside service providers if they're investigating within your office?
After we had some of our conversations, after the work session, I went back to the Secretary of State's office, and they do a combination of internal review as the work goes along, and then periodically they bring in an outside or an external reviewer to come in and look at their work. So it's a combination of peer review and external audits. And so we thought that was a good model. And also where they use some outside expertise is when they were setting up their procedures and their the way they do human resources and procurement around those areas. And
yeah.
So we thought that was a better model instead of having the whole thing always having to go out and contract. We thought that we could have some savings by doing the hybrid like they do.
Well, yeah, to be clear, though, that the point of this amendment was to make sure that there is somebody, it's not the council who's overseeing what the auditor does. It needs to be somebody who's not the auditor overseeing what the auditor does.
Correct.
So do you think your last sentence increases the likelihood of that or decreases it?
I think that it's the plan is to do both, to not expend funds we don't need to spend on outside expertise and to reserve that when we have enough procurements or enough human resources work that then we would have people come in from the outside and review that work to make sure that we're in compliance with our policies and procedures and state and federal law.
Well, to be clear, I hope that they every 4 years audit would naturally include somebody from outside giving an opinion on the work.
Right, and I believe that we had made the language that the auditor shall periodically do this, and so at some point in a term, the auditor would be required by charter to do that. And then those documents would need to be made public. That's also in the language.
And I had not noticed that you had deleted the contract periodically with outside service providers. So that really actually materially changes the point of the amendment. I was focused on the last, what you and I had discussions about was when it should happen. And yet this amendment that I'm seeing now doesn't seem to ensure that there's always an outside audit of something in the auditor's office every 4 years.
May I ask a clarifying question of the auditor? Because you referenced, you raised the question about efficiencies and cost. Is it your concern here that if you are required to use an outside service provider, that you may be incurring a cost that the council will not factor into your budget?
I think that I am trying to apply some common sense to the scale of work we do in my office and to follow the model of the Secretary of State's office where they have some internal peer review procedures and we've gotten their documentation about how they do that. And then also periodically bring in an outside set of eyes to look at what our internal procedures and our peer review procedures are, and then to provide some assurance that we're on the right track and we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And so it's a combination of providing accountability to the public as well as not incurring a bunch of expenses at dollar amounts that I don't think would be appropriate for the scale of the contracts and the hiring that we do.
But to be clear, Commissioner Fritz and you have reached agreement on the concept and on the frequency. Now we are just debating whether it should be conducted by an outside provider or some combination of inside or outside. Am I correct?
Right. And I believe we could get at some of that from through the rulemaking.
From my perspective, no, that's really
I'm
not.
Just trying to make sure I understand I was just trying to highlight what I understood is the divide.
Yep.
And now that question is for us to decide.
I see.
And I'll turn, if I could, to the mayor, the former treasurer, to ask if you have a strong view on this.
I don't have a strong view because I still don't understand the divide. So I'd like clarity on that. The first part of the amendment here says the auditor shall periodically conduct, but not less than every 4 years, organizational efficiency and compliance assessments, the results of which shall be made public. What is being proposed here is the addition of the clause contract periodically with outside service providers to conduct. I don't understand what the substantive difference is.
So may I take a shot at it?
Yes, please.
If you look at the left-hand column, this is what I thought we were discussing and which I had the conversation, and I thought that the only change that the auditor wanted, which I agreed to, was that when these assessments should happen. The sentence above that says, the auditor shall contract periodically, but no less than every 4 years, with outside service providers to conduct organizational efficiency and compliance assessments, the result of which shall be made public. So my intent was, if we are giving a future auditor absolute independence, the public and the council, perhaps in future years, will need somebody from who's not us to say how is it going within the auditor's office.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, in the Treasury, we had internal auditors. Of course, we had external auditors, just as the city does, and we heard from our external auditors earlier today. But the internal auditors also have a audit committee that is a public engagement process. It's full of people who are really smart. They understand the importance of internal audits, and they don't report to the treasurer. They report to the public. And so, you know, maybe that's one possibility as long as we're having this debate. But I see what the commissioner is trying to say.
I would just say that it's my intent to use a combination of those things. We are and have been following the model of the Secretary of State's office. I would not understand why we'd want to put in charter that we had to use external reviews if the scope of the work that we're doing in any given year doesn't rise to the level of paying someone extra money. to do that. When we can provide the documentation and show the peer review, make that available to the public, I would say that if somebody did have concerns about that, that we could at that point go and have an external review come in at the request of the public. But it would be, you know, in the term, because we are required now by the language in here to do this in the auditor's term, that in my mind, the common sense way to go forward would be to have a combination of those things.
I know that you have the purest of intentions. We're talking about future auditors who might look at this as a little kingdom where, or queendom, where they have absolute control over the budget, they have absolute control over administrative rules, everything else. I, as a citizen, would want to have somebody other than the auditor saying it's going well or it's not going so well.
So can I make a suggestion? For me, I appreciate that this issue has been framed, and I appreciate that we're also making sure that those reviews are made public, and because this is in effect becomes another check and balance. I think now we have a good faith question, or perhaps disagreement, about what blend of outside and inside services and how prescriptive we have to be. We have before us, first and seconded, the right-hand column provision. Mayor, I suggest we test to see the council appetite on this, and if it fails in a vote, then we come back and amend it.
But before we get to the vote, I have one more question. So if I'm reading this correctly, and I want to make certain that I am, if I look at how this is written, and let's include for the moment, for the purposes of discussion, Commissioner Fritz's contract periodically with outside service providers to conduct. It's my understanding the way this reads now is there would be at least one external audit every 4 years, plus the auditor would have the ability to conduct organizational audits beyond that. Is that a correct reading?
That's not the correct reading of what we're just about to vote on, because the auditor's version does not have any requirement for an outside review.
Right, because the auditors...
Mayor, to achieve that end, you just said, you would need to bring a motion to remove the deletion
correct
in the middle of the amendment that's on the table, so that, to your point, there would be at least a requirement every 4 years for an external, and the auditor would then have the authority to use a balance of inside and outside for other reviews.
Very good. Okay, so let's...
That is exactly my amendment,
right,
on the left-hand column without the last sentence in yellow.
If I may, could I clarify what
Please.
This terminology means on a certain level? The proposal, as we originally discussed it at the work session and at the hearing last week, was that to achieve some administrative independence, that we have procurement, human resources, and the budget office who come in and do various checks on the auditor's office. We're removing those checks, and we're replacing them with independent sources of checks. And so, for example, if we do 4 procurements a year, which is what we do on average, that we have some controls around our budget, we have things that are identified in code that we're supposed to be doing, and if we're going to continue to use the council as the local control or local contract review board. And so there are ways that the public can understand what we're doing and see this in ways that they have it now, because we're going to be making this material public. So right now, if the procurement or HR are looking at our decision-making on a transactional basis, they're looking at the front end. We're going to continue to do those front-end checks, but we're also going to have an external review periodically, and that will also be made public. And so I, my only hesitation about having it be in the charter that we have to use outside service providers on any sort of regularity, that was my concern. I think that if we could find a way that we would do it once in an auditor's term would be fine.
Well, that's why I removed the last sentence, but there does need to be some kind of outside review, objective review, otherwise the auditor is not reviewed by anybody.
Well, like I said, if we do a contract, we come to you as the local contractor. So there are checks that exist. And so if it is that you want to make the outside assessments in charter required.
With the understanding that, a subsequent budget request may take into account the fact that you've been required to do that, and you would give us the opportunity to determine whether you need additional funds to perform that function. It would be my expectation, as long as I have the honor of serving on this body, that if we are requiring you to do something like that, that you have sufficient funds to do it that don't compete against other programs of your department. So, Mayor, I think, do we have consensus on this now?
Well, let's call the question. So this would be...
Which question?
Auditor 2.
As amended or not?
As amended.
So the auditor side, the right-hand side?
Correct. Unless, you know, it's at the will of my colleagues. What would you like to do first?
Well, as if it's the auditors as amended, I think technically that reverts back to the Fritz Amendment.
Well,
I'm happy to start with either. I mean, let's take the temperature and see where we are.
I'd really like to vote on the amendment that I proposed minus.
Okay,
the Fritz Amendment, which
yes.
requires an outside audit. You know, since we're about to vote on that, can you live with that?
My objection to Commissioner Fritz's wording was that. The assessments have that they shall occur in the third year. I think that is overly prescriptive for charter language.
So, Commissioner
that,
Fritz,
that's what I've said. We'll remove that. That's the conversation
if we remove that. If we remove that from Fritz 1B, are you agnostic on us proceeding with this?
Well, I would also say that in hers, it requires that the auditor shall contract.
For every four
so,
years.
I would think that would be something that we wouldn't want to order a contractual relationship in charter for this kind of review.
There's no other review.
Your alternate language was shall periodically conduct, but not unless every 4 years without the contract language.
But not the outside. I mean, the audits that we are used to here are things that we look through as a means to do things better. The other way of doing audits is to look to see if there's anything the matter, and that's something that the public needs to have once during each auditor's term because we're not experts.
I view conduct and contract as functionally the equivalent with the distinction that contract matches up better with outside service providers and with the understanding that that's within your discretion.
So then, Commissioner Fritz is, if with the last sentence withdrawn, I think gets at her concern.
Good. And to be slightly annoying, but to do this properly, can I please get a motion and a second on the amendment to the amendment, which is the withdrawal of the last section of 1B. And a second?
Second.
Can I, is there any further board discussion on the amendment to the amendment? Hearing none, call the roll on the amendment to the amendment 1B.
My understanding is we're voting on my version without the last sentence.
Not yet. We're getting there. This is one step up the hill.
Would you like to tell me what I should vote on this?
Aye.
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 Saltzman?
Aye.
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. And we already have a motion and a second on 1B as amended. Any further discussion on this item? As amended, can you call the roll, please?
Point of clarification.
Yes, sir.
You're voting on the language set forth on the left-hand column.
The left-hand side, yes. Fritz 1B, as amended
to remove the language in yellow.
In the last line.
Right.
And we've already passed
we've already
the amendment to
that.
The amendments.
Yes.
We've stricken the last line. Now the question on the table
the
is amendment 1B as amended.
And that's the language
call
that's
the roll.
Being voted on.
Thank you, colleagues, especially you. See how much I trust you, Commissioner Fix. I ask you in public what I should vote, and you tell me. That's very helpful.
I put that in my hip pocket. I appreciate this conversation, and it is completely consistent with the collaborative way in which the auditor's office and this and the council have approached this project, and I appreciate that. Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
So the Fritz 1B. Has been approved. Fritz number 2, 2505, pertaining to the budget.
Shall I introduce this?
On the right.
Yes, so this is a similarly complicated one. The order, this is about the budget, and the auditor has provided some very helpful revisions to the language, just clarifying what it, how the budget gets done. There's also an addition of a carryover proposal, which will be the subject of a second motion. Yeah. Commissioner Tommy,
so what, yes? What would you move the auditor's three?
I moved the auditor's 2-505.
And I will second it. Mayor, I might just comment. The changes that the auditor has incorporated reflect testimony we received and some concerns that were raised, and in my view, greatly strengthen the provision towards making clear that the council and the mayor have the final say on the auditor's budget. And so I appreciate those changes.
Very good.
I understand there is now an amendment. Someone's going to offer an amendment to this amendment.
But do we vote on it first before I amend it? No, I offer the amendment now.
You have to bring the amendment to the amendment
okay.
first.
Okay. So then I also
then we'll get to
okay.
you.
I propose that we delete the line that says the auditor's budget may include carryover of any unused funds from year to year as provided by state law.
Is there a second?
You're deleting it. Adding.
So she is moving that we delete the following sentence. The auditor's budget may include carryover of any unused funds from year to year as provided by state law. So it has been moved and second. Again, this is an amendment to an amendment. Madam Auditor.
Yes. I view this as an important element in addressing the organizational impairments that are related to the budget process, and which we've discussed before. It essentially removes the opportunity for the budget office, which we audit, to have influence over the auditor's budget. The overall section in the proposal is in, the carryover is in keeping with the overall goal of creating a dialogue among the six elected officials about the auditor's budget. It's about mutual respect for our separate and distinct responsibilities. In the current process, the auditor's unspent funds at the end of the fiscal year are returned to the general fund. What I am proposing is that these funds remain available to the auditor's office. That would mean that the auditor would have access to a reserve of funds to address unforeseen expenses or to save for a future priority. Your fiduciary obligation is met so long as the funds are spent as originally approved for personnel or materials and services. My obligation to manage the affairs of the auditor's office can be met without having to ask permission for funds on a case-by-case basis. Because of the commission form of government, it is always true that the auditor is asking permission from officials who have competing priorities they'd like to fund, and the auditor has no champion or vote in the budget process. Let me use a recent example to illustrate how I would have used carryover funds had I been able to. An employee in independent police review received a voicemail message in which the caller threatened to blow his head off. The caller then walked into IPR. He appeared to the investigators to be unwell. As you'd expect, this unnerved the employees who share space with the council clerk's office. A security review a few months prior to this incident indicated that physical buffers needed to be added to the counters in IPR in the council clerk's office. They cost more than was available to me in my budget. It was an unforeseen expense, and I did not get permission to access maintenance funding through facilities. I did not get permission during the budget monitoring process because the buffers were not a priority. I now have lost track of the status of this request, which I believe has been consumed by a larger conversation about security for this building. Consequently, my employees are as exposed to the danger today as they were 6 months ago when this occurred. I am unable to tell them when or if to expect the buffers. Had I had access to a reserve of funds for unforeseen expenses like this, they would not be waiting for the small measure of protection that they fully deserve. The ability to carry over funds does not mean that the mayor and council lose control over them. They can be factored into subsequent appropriations or used for other purposes should you decide that they are not necessary for the duties and responsibilities of the auditor's office. While the annual sums would likely be small in overall budget terms, we estimate that would be between $100,000 to $200,000, and probably that number would be going down given that we're undergoing some cut years. They would provide a measure of management control that is important to the independence of the auditor.
I'd be interested in the sense of the council before we move on this, because we have a couple of options, just of my colleagues.
So the only other place that I know of in the charter where any elected official has control over any amount of money in by him or herself is the $5,000 that the mayor has authority to spend at will. I know. So this, all of us have the same challenge that if something happens within our offices, we need to put it forward and have the discussion. As I said at the hearing, half of all unspent money that goes back to the general fund is used on critical infrastructure maintenance. And we just heard from the reporting that we have huge deficits in infrastructure maintenance that need to be funded. And so the auditor would have the same ability like any of the rest of the elected officials to ask for a carryover with a specified purpose, and the council then would, acting in its capacity as the budget committee by state law, can approve that. This amendment essentially takes away the amendment I had in the first place, just puts it in a different place, and I believe it's equally confusing for folks.
Mayor? So I asked the budget office about this provision, and what they told me is whether, if that line is included, it doesn't materially change the current budget process. The reason being that it says may, and so it still makes clear that the final authority rests with the budget committee, which is the city council. But you know, here's the balance I think we're trying to strike here. The balance is operationally, I believe the auditor is correct that historically the numbers have been relatively small, and longer term, the question is if there's the implication in charter that the city council does not control those funds, the concern is the auditor essentially becomes a super agency if those savings start to add up at a time when the city could actually be needing funds for other purposes. And we are given the legal authority as the budget committee for the city. We're still responsible for the budget overall and making tough decisions about how to balance competing interests. If that provision is stricken, it also doesn't materially change the current procedure. It is still this committee's responsibility to allocate resources.
Mayor, if I may, while I agree with you that you always retain responsibility for the budget, in my mind, it doesn't give the auditor any sort of super control over those funds. I think what it does is change the presumption that they're automatically going back into the general fund into a process where the auditor's office is the only office in the city that does not have a champion or a vote, and trying to compete and fight for funds in that process. I think it starts the conversation presuming that the funds reside in the auditor's office. If the auditor can make the case to you and to the council that we need those funds for a specific purpose or for an unforeseen expense.
Right. Well, there's two solutions I see to this mini stalemate, if I can call it that. Solution number one is to put a limit, and it could be a percentage of allocatable budget, so that it doesn't just keep growing in perpetuity, and I think that would alleviate some of the concerns that you're hearing from fellow commissioners. Alternatively, number two, we could be very explicit and add language that clarifies the city council's role vis-a-vis the overall budget. It seems like either of those options.
So, Madam Auditor, I'm intrigued by one of the alternatives the mayor has proposed, although I think as a percentage, it becomes subject to interpretation. And because this is the charter, I would in its place suggest, given history, that I would just pose as an alternative that we set a hard cap of $100,000 so that we're clear that it is in keeping with historical norms and is not designed to set up an unlimited kitty. If we were to keep the language in here, it's clear to me that we can essentially treat that as a credit against your budget request to avoid you getting a windfall. So that's how we would address it through the budget process. If you carry over $100,000 and you ask for $1 million, we get to say you've already got $100,000 towards the million, and so it's form over substance. Commissioner Fritz raises, I think, an important point that ending fund balances currently now revert to a process where half the money is then allocated to major maintenance. That's a new policy, and she was the champion of that. On the other hand, the money here is de minimis. And so I guess the question I would ask you is, what do you think of the idea of capping it at a certain amount, like $100,000?
You know, I'm going to introduce Sarah Landis, who does the budget for our office, to talk. She's a little more familiar with the year-over-year kinds of...
And before we get to that, I want to give Commissioner Udaly, if she wants to chime in. Everybody else got their opportunity. I want to make sure she has an opportunity as well.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm feeling torn on this issue. I feel that Commissioner Fritz has brought up valid issues, and the auditor has as well. But I don't, I'm not seeing how these various solutions ultimately are functionally different. I guess the cap, obviously. But is it my understanding that we could say, yes, you can keep the funds, but we may decide to just take them back anyway?
Could I just intervene?
Okay.
My understanding is that by state law, the council is the budget authority, and that we can't bind future councils. So if it says in the charter any number, 100,000 or even, you know, the whole, as it suddenly reads, that is... it intending to be binding on future councils, which is against state budget law. So I would really prefer to just take that out. As I said, we are going to have another process in a few years to look at this again. I would suggest we want to see how it works out, have the conversations, and if necessary, we can put something in later. Trying to do it on the fly with picking a number, and the number for the past 5 years has averaged almost $500,000 a year.
There is one additional safety valve we could put on the table, which is it is the prerogative of any of us, all six elected officials, to request that a certain amount of money be encumbered for a particular purpose. Now, we've done that, we do that in a formal way if there's a pending contract or a pending liability or whatever, we encumber it. It would certainly be my expectation that if the auditor said that there was a purpose towards, there was a need for carryover funds that met a health and safety, security issue, or the like, that would simply be resolved by her communicating with the mayor that need, and the mayor agreeing with the budget office that it be encumbered for that purpose, that we could then sort it out in the budget process later, but so as not to deprive you of those funds for something you need right away. Mayor, do you agree with that?
I agree with that.
And that is my goal, essentially, is because we can't foresee everything. And the IPR example is the perfect one where I had no alternative. And so I think that that's what we're trying to get at with this language, is that it just continues the dialogue.
So we have, Madam Auditor, let me make a suggestion, because we have gotten to consensus on just about everything here. And would you consider accepting Auditor 3 with the amendment that we delete the carryover language based on the record we've just created that makes clear that if there is carryover funds which you need for a particular purpose, you would be accorded the same courtesies as other members of this body to approach the mayor and the budget office for an encumbrance. And then we'll work that out through rulemaking to make sure it's embedded in our understanding. And then test drive that to see if it works for you.
I think that is one way to go forward. And also, you will recall that I would like to continue a conversation about a pilot project, and we could continue these conversations in that
and
to
I think
that
you
avenue
have,
as well.
I think you're hearing the commitment of this body to be flexible and creative in meeting your goal. But I think the trade winds seem to be blowing in favor of deleting. So I would first give you the opportunity to agree to a friendly amendment to delete that sentence.
Hopefully continue the conversation.
Let's concurrence of the auditor, why don't we take up the amendment to delete it then adopt the amendment?
Yeah, this is a amendment to the amendment to delete the sentence. The auditor's budget may include carryover of any unused funds from year to year as provided by state law. Any further conversation? Please call the roll, Carla.
Fritz.
Well, thanks to all six elected officials for this important discussion. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. So Auditor 3 is the amendment to the amendment has been approved. Now we're to the main motion, which is Auditor 3 as amended. Any further discussion on Auditor 3 as amended? Madam Auditor, any further discussion on this item? Carla, please call the roll on Amendment Auditor 3 as amended.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. And just to make sure we're doing the paperwork correctly, I assume then, Commissioner Fritz, you've withdrawn Fritz number 2.
Yes.
That is correct. So Fritz number 2 is withdrawn. Next up are Fritz number 3 through 5, and it's been brought to my attention that there has been consensus between you and the auditor in the substitution language under Exhibit A.
Yes, I'm very happy that the auditor and I were able to work out something that says very clearly that the compensation system established by the ordinate, by the charter change and by the auditor will generally follow this, the classified services for the rest of the city employees.
Okay, so we have now withdrawn a number of amendments. We have passed a number of amendments. We have amended amendments. At this point, I would like to propose we take a 10-minute break to digest this, and I'd like to have a conversation with the auditor if I could. And assuming that we continue as we're doing, we will come back, and then we will vote on the main motion as amended. So we'll take about a 10-minute break.
Just a quick point of clarification.
Yes.
So the 3 through 5 version that the auditor and I agreed on is part of the main document now?
Thank you for that clarification, yeah. Commissioner. Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
One more amendment? I think that's in Mr. Handelman is talking about the last amendment. I believe that's in the consensus version that the officer, yes, it was. I think maybe you didn't, we weren't here at the beginning, Mr. Handelman, that we did include in the shared version that the office of the ombudsman may investigate the office of the auditor. So we added to Ombudsman D. That the ombudsman can investigate any bureau, whatever, including the office of the auditor. And thank you for bringing that to our attention last week. Oh, that's probably the hardest.